720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen, filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight, pretty late. We'll return, of course, later in the week. Touching story today that I saw in the Chicago Tribune, written by Daniel Dorfman. The headline was, "Drive Seeks Possible Bone Marrow Donor for Child." And the child is 3 years old. Her name is Reese Felderman. And we have her father on the line right now, Chris, who did not know that his daughter needed potentially some help until very, very recently, as they were at the Botanic Gardens on December 9th to go see Santa Claus. And now there is a donor drive this coming Thursday at Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka. So we want to get the word out and bring Chris on. Chris, this is obviously a very, very challenging time for your family and for you personally. I guess, you know, just to start out here, how are you getting through each day and trying to, you know, move forward and do what's best for your daughter, who you, you know, obviously care so much about?
Right. Well, right now we're just taking it one day at a time. We are waiting for the full diagnosis, but what the doctors have been telling us is that the highest likelihood right now is JMML, and they're just waiting for some additional tests to be returned so they can rule out other potential options. So, you know, rather than wait around ourselves for that, we are being proactive to see if we can find a donor for our little Reese. But, you know, we tried our best to enjoy the Christmas holiday. We spent some time here with family, and we've got some family coming into town over the next couple of days to spend some time with us and just make it as happy and, you know, just try to take everyone's mind off it while we wait for these results to come in before we figure out what our plan is going to be going forward.
And tell us, how did you realize that something was wrong?
Well, so I was actually leaving town for a business trip a couple Mondays ago, and wanted to see my kids off to school in the morning before I went to the airport to catch my flight. And when we went to wake our twins up, Reese was unable to even get out of her bed because she said she just said it hurt, and she had a fever, and you know, she was sweating. And when we tried to help her out of bed, she was shaking and could not stand on her own. She just kept saying, "It hurts, it hurts." So my wife and I kind of looked at each other and thought, this is strange. And my wife Jen proceeded to take Reese to the hospital while I stayed back with the other two kids. And, you know, that's when we got word a few hours later after the blood results came back that they took some tests, and when the results came back, they indicated that it was potentially a leukemia or a similar blood disorder, and we needed to get to Lurie's as quickly as possible. So we went there immediately and spent the next 5 days getting tested at Lurie's. And left there on the fifth day, really not knowing for sure what it was, and that was, you know, almost 10 days ago, and we're still trying to figure out what is going on, so we can come up with that plan.
Yeah, and this is obviously a parent's worst nightmare. Your beloved daughter and twins. It's, you know, so you. I'm just trying to gain the whole picture here. You have one twin who's healthy and another who is not right now, and you have to keep, like, everything together. Like, does Reese understand what's going on? How do you even tackle that? It just seems like such a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all so young right now that there's no way that they can understand. I mean, we were in the hospital, like I said, for 5 days, and you know, the constant checking of vitals and taking of blood was very taxing on her, but the doctors were really good to, you know, to make sure she was comfortable, and we had friends and family that were sending packets to keep her busy during the day, and quite frankly, because she is a twin, she hasn't really ever gotten to spend a lot of time with mom and dad without her twin sister being there, so I think she took comfort in the fact that she got us to herself. But the way that we make sense of it is, you know, it's just I don't even know, to be honest. We're, like I said, taking it one day at a time, and we're just really trying to focus on our family and keeping everyone busy. And a lot of the people in the village that we live in have been sending care packets and just little activities for the girls to complete, you know, to pass the days. And, you know, there are three kids that we have, and they're all 3.5 or younger, so they keep us busy, and that helps take our mind off of things. And we, Jen and I, basically take turns finding some time to ourselves to sort of unleash the emotions that we have so that we can be there for our kids
right.
Throughout the day when we need to be. That's probably the hardest part.
Right, and that's, you got to get expressed, right? I think that's, are you reaching out for support from people that have been in this type of situation? Because I know there can't be any, like, blueprint on how to do something like this, but there's also a community out there that have, you know, have children who have gone through this. I would think that you'd want to lean on some people that have sort of been through it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we haven't gone down that path. We've gotten the names of a few people, but we want to make sure that, you know, we want to get this diagnosis back. Whether we like it or not, I think we've become advocates for childhood cancer and leukemia specifically. I don't think anyone ever wants that to be thrust upon them. But, you know, should we need to go down that path, we've definitely got some names that we will reach out to. And then just people in our neighborhood have been very, very supportive and helping us out to the best that they can while we await these results. But to be specific, no, we have not taken those steps to reach out to those families. We're kind of preparing ourselves for that mentally, but we're waiting to get that diagnosis before we take those steps.
Yeah, and the donor drive is coming up, but it's this Thursday, correct? At Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka, and you're looking for a bone marrow match for Reese. I guess just specifically, you know, who are you hope? I guess anybody can show up, right? You just don't know if you're going to be a match. You're just looking for people who are looking to help, willing to
help.
That's
right. So the best age bracket, I think, is 18 to 44 or 45. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But really, it's twofold. It's one, to raise awareness and to, you know, to get as many people to register for be the match as possible, because even though they may not be a match for Reese, they may be a match for someone else out there, and they could save another life. And the process for it is really quite painless. It's just a swab of the cheek that gets sent back, and it's used to find out what your HLA type is, and if the tissue that you have in your body matches another person who is seeking that donor. And if you are a match, then you can go and, you know, go in for basically an outpatient procedure that is just as painless, but could potentially end up saving a life. So like I said, we don't know that we will find a specific match for Reese. We're very hopeful that we will. But even if we don't, we may find matches for other individuals who are awaiting a donor right now.
So I'm just curious, because I know people out there who perhaps would obviously love to help, but they're afraid that, oh, this could impact me negatively health-wise. If you go in and you get the swab on your cheek and it's deemed that you're a donor for Reese or for somebody else, if you actually go through with it, are you putting your own health at risk? Do you know the answers to that?
I don't know the specific answers. I'm actually still going through the process of training myself up on this. We've been very busy with lots of other things, as you can imagine.
Of course.
But from what I've heard myself is, like I said, it's an outpatient procedure, and it can be as little as giving blood, because they don't necessarily need to go in and take bone marrow like they did in days past. There may be instances where they need to do something like that, but you know, it's a very quick procedure, and the pain that is involved with it might last for a day. So it's not intrusive whatsoever, or the intrusiveness is very minimal, but the health risks associated with it, I think, are even more minimal than the psychological effect of, you know, thinking about having to go in and get a needle in your arm to give some blood to save a life.
Well,
I think that's where people might get hung up.
Yeah, unfortunately for me here, Chris, I'm on the back end of your window, 18 to 44. I actually am 44, but I'm going to come in there, man. I will show up on Thursday, and I'm the biggest wimp ever when it comes to giving blood and all that stuff, but I'm going to hold myself as capable, just because your story really touched me, and just trying to imagine being in that position. And also just, you know, who knows if I could help Reese or somebody else for that matter. Just seems like the right thing to do. I'm curious, what kind of questions is Reese asking, if you can share?
Quite honestly, Reese, she isn't asking a lot of questions. She is being the bubbly little girl that we knew before this episode happened. And she's running around the house with her sisters and playing with her Christmas toys right now. So that's one of the hardest parts for us is, you know, we don't know what we should be sharing with her right now because she doesn't quite know what the ramifications are for this hospital visit that we just had. And she doesn't ask a whole lot of questions. I think she just kind of wants to put it behind her. And if she doesn't see another doctor with a stethoscope around his or her neck for quite a long time, she would be very happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's a good sign, though, running around playing, right?
At least that's... Yeah. No, we love that. We love to see that.
Yeah. That's and your wife is a teacher, Chris, is that right?
She is, yeah. So we live in the village of Winnetka, and she actually taught second grade at the local elementary school here, Greeley Elementary, for 10 or 12 years, and up until the twins were born, actually. And so we live in the neighborhood now, and that's where we plan to send our kids to school. So that's why we feel very connected to this community, and we hope a lot of people will turn out to help support us and see if they can be a match for anyone else who might be awaiting a donor as well.
The Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka this coming Thursday. Come on out, and perhaps you can save a life. Perhaps you could be a donor for Reese if she indeed does need the help. Hopefully she doesn't. Hopefully it's just a huge scare, and you guys can move forward. But either way, you know, if you come on out on Thursday, you're doing a great thing. And Chris, I really appreciate you sharing with us. I know it's a super vulnerable time, and to come on the radio and talk about this stuff about your daughter, I mean, that's not easy to do. I think a lot of people want to bury themselves in the sand, and now you're out in the Tribune, you're out here, and you're doing a drive that, you know, maybe you'll be for your daughter, maybe for someone else. So huge respect for what you're doing, Chris, and I appreciate you jumping on tonight.
No problem, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Chris Felderman, daughter Reese. If you want to see the article in the Tribune, it's Drive Seeks Possible Bone Marrow Donor. This is 720 WGN.